Welcome once again to our Theater of the Air. Today we present Mr. James Mason in a radio version of Death Takes a Holiday. The place is the Great Hall in Duke Lambert's castle in Italy. It is early evening, and the day that is drawing to a close has been filled with disturbing events. The Duke's son has had a narrow escape in a motor accident. The Duke's daughter has fainted after seeing a mysterious shadow in the garden of the castle. Despite a search made by the house guests, there is no trace of the intruder. The Duke is now alone in the Great Hall, and he senses rather than sees a mysterious presence. Suddenly, he finds himself confronted by a tall, black shadow.
I beg you not to be afraid.
Who are you?
I don't wonder you ask. I suppose as a caller, I'm unusual, even unique.
Is this some horrible masquerade? As if it is.
No, strange as it may seem, this is my natural appearance. That is, to you. In justice to myself, I ought to say that my true appearance is somewhat more attractive than this, but unfortunately I can appear to man only as he imagines me to be. That seems incredible. I'm afraid, my dear fellow, you will have to make a considerable effort. You see, I am, or I was until I crossed your threshold, death.
Death?
I thought it might give you quite a shock. But please be assured, I am not on my usual mission tonight. Quite the contrary. If I were, do you think we should be chatting like this? Instead, I should have lain beside you for a moment on your bed, or breathed on your hair as you passed by. I've already stood beside one of you tonight, without harm. That lovely girl in the garden.
Ah, then it was you.
Yes, I didn't intend her to see me. She appears to be remarkably sensitive and aware. The rest of you, if I may say so, have been less acute. I have, you know, been with you all the evening.
Oh, then that explains...
Your son, I thought, was rather desperate tonight. If I'd been playing my proper role, I should have taken him and those charming young people in the car. Regretfully, I assure you, I positively had to hold his wheels on the edge of that precipice.
You held?
Yes, quite. But really, your son ought not to drive like that when I am myself.
You saved.
It's amusing, isn't it? Death in the role of a guardian angel. But I did. Doesn't that reassure you that I have no lethal intentions?
It does, rather.
That's better. In a moment, we shall be good friends. But perhaps you'd better sit down again. There are a few more unusual details. I am about to take a holiday. Again, that sounds incredible, doesn't it? Even to me. Think of it. For the first time in history, there'll be no murders. No fatal accidents. No man will even die in his bed. Not a leaf will fall. But don't be alarmed. I shall take 3 days only and crowd as much as possible into them. After that, I must go back.
But why are you doing this?
For a number of reasons. For one thing, to discover why men fear me as they do.
Don't you know?
How should I know, who have never experienced a mortal sensation? What could terror mean to me, who have nothing to fear? Or pity, when I must not pity, or kindness, or aspiration, or love? These are only words to me, whose meaning I'm curious to discover. In particular, I should like to know something of love. It appears to be a potent force which makes men do quite mad things. 'Tis the word most often on the lips of man when he goes with me, unless he's old or spent. There's another reason. Can you conceive how weary I am of being misunderstood? I see things that are gracious and young and fragrant, and sometimes I desire them with a vague and aching tenderness. But if I come too near, if they feel the presence of my shadow, a horror comes upon their minds. Can you conceive how lonely I am when there is nothing that doesn't shun me, that doesn't shrink when I come near?
Yes, of course.
There is something here to be known and felt, something desirable that makes men fear me and cling to their life. I must know what it is. In short, my dear sir, I wish to live a complete life in the space of 3 days.
But How can you?
I don't quite know, but I'm sure the attempt will be interesting. And you can help me if you will.
I?
You and your friends. Obviously, I must have a place for my experiment. I was passing by chance and saw the Villa Happiness written above your lintel. It had a charming sound. So I find myself here asking your hospitality. Will you accept me for those few days? As a guest?
As a guest?
Don't be alarmed. As a mortal, of course. I assure you I shall be quite a man of the world.
Why, in that case, I should be most happy.
Will it be a great trouble to put me up? Will it?
No, not in the least. I have a suite of rooms prepared for an old friend who is expected. Prince Sirki of Vitalba Alexandri.
Oh, Prince Sirki.
Then you...
Yes, just this evening. I didn't know, of course, he was a friend of yours.
So I'm not to expect...
No, I'm sorry.
Poor Sirki.
That gives me a suggestion. Was the prince known to you and your family and your guests?
No, none of them knew him.
Good. Then, since I've unfortunately been obliged to deprive you of a guest, it seems only just that I should take his place. I shall, therefore, be Prince Sirki of Vitalba Alexandri for 3 days.
As you will.
You are the head of this house, and therefore responsible. Your guests could not bear the knowledge of my name. If my secret is divulged, I shall leave instantly as Sirki and return in my proper person. Do I make myself clear?
Perfectly.
Then it's a bargain.
It is.
You are distinguished among hosts. None has ever before entertained death and lived. And now, shall we begin our interesting experiment?
His Highness... Prince Sirki.
Sirki. Welcome, Your Serene Highness, to the Villa Happiness.
Thank you, my dear Duke. I'm so happy to be here.
We are more than honored.
Thank you. I've rarely been so charmingly received.
And now may I present my guest?
It will be a pleasure.
The Baron Caesarea, sir. A statesman who was once important in the affairs of the world, who now looks back on a long and interesting life.
I'm delighted to meet the Baron, at last.
And I to meet you, Your Highness. Indebted to you greatly, sir, for an exciting evening. You make a mysterious and dramatic appearance. My rheumatism disappears at the same time. I feel years younger. If I go on like this, I shall take up statesmanship again.
Don't, I beg you. I remember that it was you who brought Italy into the Great War.
Oh, well, as a prince and statesman, I hope you approve.
I was not thinking as a prince and statesman, but as... We shall talk further, my dear Baron, of several things. Considering your distinction and age, it is surprising that fate has not introduced us before now.
Well,
And this is my son, Corrado.
Your Highness.
Ah, the son who drives so furiously. My friends, permit me to call you my friends.
Your Highness.
Please make no change in your plans because of my sudden appearance. I should like to join in your pleasures, if I may, and enjoy the hours with you. I beg you not to make a stranger of me.
Father, I'm sorry I'm late.
Well, Your Highness, may I present my daughter, Grazia, Prince Sirki.
Your Highness.
We've met before.
Have we?
The rooms are ready, Your Grace.
My rooms?
Yes, at your pleasure.
Then, if you will forgive me, I think I will go now. I've not slept for ages, and I feel curiously tired. Good night, my friends. My holiday begins most agreeably.
Good night, Your Highness.
Three days pass by, and the mysterious visitor's holiday is almost over. Among the Duke's house guests with whom he has made friends is Alda, a young, beautiful woman of 28, whose manner suggests a restrained restlessness.
Your Highness.
Oh, there you are. I'm so glad you've come. You're not afraid of me, are you?
No, but I am.
You conceal it bravely.
Perhaps my interest is greater than my fear.
Why are you interested?
Because you are the most fascinating, the most compelling, the most royal man. And I am a woman.
Yes, a beautiful woman. And between this man and this woman, life is passing.
Yes. Life that is immense and terrible, drawing me.
You're an interesting woman, Elder.
Am I?
Shall I tell you what you are?
Yes.
You have lost many illusions, but you cling to one, hoping that it is not an illusion. Do you know what it is?
Yes.
You have sought experience, but none has satisfied you, yet. You long for something wild, overpowering, to sweep you beyond thought.
Yes.
Shall I read you further? You're an open book to me.
Yes.
I've been listening to the sound of you. On the surface, there are many little sounds, graceful and charming, and beneath, one simple and primitive sound. I'm hearing it now. Shall I go on?
Yes.
You do not know who I am, and my mystery attracts you and stirs your desire. I can see it now, throbbing in your blood. I can see it rising like a sob in your throat. The unknown is drawing you. I wonder if I were to tell you who I am.
Who are you?
Could you bear that? You, a mortal.
A mortal?
I wonder if your passion is great enough. You desire me now. You are quivering at the thought of my touch. I can feel you calling to me. If I were to kiss you. Now you are caught up into the dark current of my being. Shall I call you back, or will you go on and on?
On.
Then I can feed your desire.
Yes.
You do desire
me?
Yes. How much?
More than life itself.
I wonder. You're not afraid?
No.
Let me see. Look into my eyes. Look deep. What do you see there?
Shadows.
Look into that shadow. Let your thought go to its wildest reach. I will you to know who I am.
No. No.
You who were not afraid, you desired me as a mortal. Say my immortal name and see if you desire me still.
I can't.
Say it.
Oh, no, no.
Say it.
You are.
It wasn't love with you, only passion. You were flaming, but at the sound of my name, lust grew cold. And that is not the measure of love. You're not great enough for me, Elder. I'm looking for a response you could never give. I'm searching for someone who knows and is not afraid. There is something else. There is another flower, more fragrant than this, which I haven't plucked yet. I've been afraid, but I must pluck it. Until then, I haven't lived, and I will not end these days in failure.
With James Mason in the part of Death, we continue the story of Death Takes a Holiday. Death, in his earthly guise of Prince Sirki, stands in the great hall of the castle of the Duke of Lambert. His holiday is almost over. He is joined there by Grazia, the Duke's daughter. She's only 18, charming and gentle.
Your Highness is being very kind tonight.
I wonder if I am being kind.
Perhaps I should have said gracious.
No, not gracious either. I have discovered that even the mightiest must sue for certain favors.
I should think your Highness would never need to sue.
On the contrary, I'm feeling strangely humble for the first time in my life.
And I'm feeling strangely thrilled and proud.
Grazia, your mother is asking for you.
We've just been exchanging compliments, the little princess and I. It's a very pretty custom of your society.
I'm sure your Highness is accomplished.
Oh, he is. And he makes his pretty speeches sound so significant.
I don't wonder.
Will you forgive me, your Highness?
Certainly.
Oh, I've invited such guests tonight as I thought might interest you. Later, there will be...
Tell me, do any of your guests know?
None, your Highness.
Good. I wish that reserve kept without fail.
I understand.
No, forgive me, but you do not. I've been experimenting, and I find that no mortal could bear the knowledge. No mortal woman.
Is there anything I can do?
No, except not to interfere.
Forgive me, but I do not understand.
Naturally. You asked me once if this were a masquerade. It was at first. I was playing a game for my own amusement. I thought I was free to choose this or that pleasure. But now I am caught and being carried blindly towards...
Toward what, Your Highness?
Toward something I'd not foreseen. Toward that which gives life its meaning and its grandeur. Toward that which makes me build and hope. Toward...
Yes?
Toward love.
Love?
That's strange to you, is it not? But it's infinitely stranger to me. I, who am called the destroyer of life, now wish to love and cherish life, to hold it tenderly and passionately.
But do you love a mortal?
I said passionately. Does that indicate a bloodless ghost?
But, Your Highness, what will happen when you...
You think perhaps I'm being cruel.
This is horrible.
Perhaps I am being cruel. I don't know. But isn't that proof of my mortality? Does your mortal lover think and weigh? He plunders where he can, knowing that there will be an end. Does it matter if that end is one day or 10 years?
But it is fatal to love you.
Have you forgotten that tonight I must go with empty hands?
Are you sure?
I am an expert at conclusions, my friend. Don't look at me with that fear in your eyes. I tell you, it is I who am afraid. I came to sip and taste your pleasures, to find what meaning they had that makes you cling to life. It is love. And now I am caught and bound until this borrowed blood of mine is aching with an intolerable pain. I, who was invincible, have found a stronger thing than I.
Will you tell me who?
No, I will not tell you. But understand this clearly. I will not be thwarted. I should not wish to repay your kindness with disaster, but I warn you, no one must hinder me. Is that clear?
Yes.
Good.
And now, if you'll excuse me, I must join my other guests.
Why are you not with the others?
The same reason that you're not, I think.
You say that so simply, as though you knew.
I do know.
It's strange. We hardly need to speak, do we?
Thoughts are so much clearer than words.
Then perhaps you can tell me what I've been doing in the garden.
I think I can. Almost.
Tell me. I want to hear it from your lips.
I think you've been holding life in your hands, as I do sometimes. I think you've been a little afraid of its beauty.
Ah, you do know. You wonderful, exquisite child. I've been walking in a garden that was full of you. And under a sky that sang of you. Your laughter was in a wind that went by and touched my hair. I stood looking at the sky, and the night was illuminated by the knowledge of you. And I was shaken.
And ever since I saw you, I've been shaken. What is this that has happened? Who are you?
Circe?
I don't mean that. You seem to come from a distant place.
I do come from far away, but...
When I'm with you, I see depths in your eyes that are like the worlds I visit in sleep.
Grazie.
When you leave me, the light goes from the sky.
Oh, grazie. Grazie. Don't be afraid of me.
I'm not afraid.
I am Circe, who loves you more than any man could love you. I am Circe, who needs your warmth and your beauty more than any man could need them. Grazie, listen to me. I am a great power, and I am humble before you. And tonight I must go back to my distant kingdom.
Will you take me?
Take you?
Yes. I should be so unhappy alone.
Take you? No. No, don't tempt me. But, Grazia, give me 1 hour of you. Let me hold you once and feel your life. You are the meaning of beauty that I must know. Grazia, let me hold you and feel that last ecstasy. And know that I've lived.
Oh, my love, my love.
My little love.
Grazia! Grazia!
What's happened, Father?
Grazia and Prince Circe have gone into the garden. There is nothing to be alarmed about, Corrado.
But you're alarmed.
No.
Father, you're terrified. What's wrong? Tell me.
No, no, wait.
Then I'll go.
I forbid you to move.
Then tell me why I can't go. Give me your reason.
I can't.
Grazia's in some danger, I know it. Who is this prince?
You don't know what you're asking.
And I don't care. I only know that my sister's in danger. Who is this prince?
Very well, I'll tell you. He said if I reveal his secret, he will leave instantly as Circe and return as... Steel yourself if you're to hear it. He is not Prince Circe. He is the one who waits, the one whom all men dread. His Majesty, Death, amusing himself on our holiday. He's been gone over 2 hours. If only he'd come back.
And bring Grazia.
Good evening.
Where is Grazia? Surely you haven't already...
I'm sick here for a few moments still.
And must we lose Grazia?
The irony of this is magnificent. I am the Lord of Ending. And now I am caught in my own net. Men are sad because I am the world, and there must be an end and a frustration. And in a few moments, I shall be what I was, and for me, too, there will be an end.
But you are above loss and pain.
Am I, and still immortal? I thought tonight that I'd reached the end of my experiment. I'd found love. But it was not the end. Beyond that, I found the pain of the loss of love. If I must lose it.
But it must be lost to you.
Why?
Because you are...
Death. My dear Duke, thank you for defining the problem. I've been talking a little wildly, but you brought me back to earth. The situation is this. You do not wish to give up Grazia, neither do I. It is as simple as that, and as profound as the sadness of all parting.
Your Highness, you came to this house asking to be received as a mortal. We accepted you, and so far as it was in our power, we tried to make you happy.
Yes?
There is a code, sir, which holds among men, which requires that one shall not violate good faith. I ask you, sir, to respect that code. I'm speaking of Grazia. She has disappeared. You are going. What are you going to do?
Give her back to us. Give her back to us.
Someone must always lose.
Then give her back to us.
And parents are left for love.
But not like this. Not in death's visible hand.
There are worlds between us, and I cannot reach your minds. You ask me to make this sacrifice as a man, when my desire is greater than a man could know. You ask me to give up love, when I long for love with a surpassing hunger. You are in terror, and I am in agony. Why do men fear my coming? I do not see how they can bear their lives. Their courage is magnificent. I am proud to have worn the garment of this flesh.
Your Highness, we are not answered. You have 10 minutes more of life, and after that, what can you give Grazia?
Sleep, perhaps, and the release of dreams, and beyond that... There are no words by which I can tell you.
But that is death to us and to her.
A word you have been taught to fear, a symbol of the unknown. And because of that word, you would keep her from me.
Your Highness, she is dear to us.
But even now she is not yours. The shadowy places of the imagination are her home. It is such a simple step from her world to mine.
But Grazia doesn't know who you are. Before you do this monstrous thing, won't you tell her and let her choose?
Even Grazia was born to fear this face. She would die with me now as Circe, but to choose death as a lover... No. No, I will not.
But you gave me your word.
My word? I remember I said that no harm should come to this house.
Or to the one you loved.
But I'm doing her no harm, if you only knew. She's coming. Save her if you can.
Your Highness, did you call?
Where did you go? Oh, Grazia, don't run away like that again. Not in the night.
But I was quite safe with him. I love to be with him. I must stay with him always.
But you can't go with Prince Circe. You can't.
Why, Father?
Because he's going far away, to a distant country. You couldn't live there.
But I couldn't live here without him. I know he seems a little terrifying to you. But I'm happy with him and safe and so contented. I've found the happiness I've looked for so long. Why are you all so strange?
Save her.
Tell her what you will.
But what is there to tell? Do you think there's anything that I don't understand? I love His Highness, and I must go with him.
Your Highness, you must.
Say what you will, it'll make no difference.
For God's sake, it is nearly midnight.
I know. So my mortal experience must have the usual ending. I, too, must have my parting. Grazia, I came to this house as a jest, and made love to you as a jest.
You're trying to destroy my love because they wish it. It was not a jest.
Grazia, don't smile. It's true. Someone tell her quickly, while there's time. Corrado, she's so cold. Take her in your arms and give her warmth.
Grazia. Grazia, don't you hear me?
Yes, I hear.
Won't you stay with me?
I can't, Corrado.
You can't go with me.
Yes, I can. Shall we go now?
But you don't know who I am.
You are my love.
I am death. Now you see me as I am.
But I've always seen you like that. You are not changed.
You have seen me like this?
Yes. You seem beautiful to me.
Then there is a love which casts out fear. And I have found it. A love that is as strong as death. Come.
You've been listening to James Mason in The Part of Death, in a radio version of the play Death Takes a Holiday. Until the next time we meet, when we shall be presenting another outstanding film or play. Goodbye.